Staying Alive UK. Share your story.
Hello and welcome to the Share Your Story podcast series, a business biography, their story so far. I'm Michael De Groot and I'm your host. My purpose through this podcast series is to inspire you to take the next step towards your new business venture or indeed develop your existing business even further. I only interview business owners who employ less than 9 employees, and mostly they will be on their own. So let's get straight to it. And today I'm delighted to have on the Share Your Story podcast, Natasha Aylott. And before we hear from Natasha, let me introduce her first of all. Natasha empowers people to be mindful and step into their own brilliance to reach their bliss. It is her mission to inspire and nurture people to discover their purpose and passion. She will take them on a journey of lifelong learning by teaching them the power of optimism, mindfulness, self-care, and strengthen their personal development. Empowering people to make a difference and developing them for their human spirit and achieve a blissful life. And her unique coaching invites you to discover who you are, empowers you to realize why you are here, and acknowledge your gifts. This process is both freeing and fulfilling, allowing you to fully step into your own power. Natasha, welcome to the podcast.
Wow. Thank you, Michael. That was very nice. I enjoyed that. How are you?
I'm absolutely brilliant. And how are you?
I'm really well. Thank you for asking.
Are you blissed today?
I'm always blissed.
That's it.
If I'm not, I'm getting blissed.
Absolutely. That's what we want. So, Natasha, thank you for joining me today. And I would like for us to hear your story to help people, inspire them in whatever way we can today. So first of all, would you mind sharing with us a little bit about your own personal life, where you were born, where you've moved to around the country or in the world, a bit about your family, your hobbies, your interests? Just give us a picture about your personal life, as much as you would like to share with us.
Thank you. Well, quite uneventful, really. I was born just outside Blackpool, and I was the first born of 4. Then when my brother came along the next year, we moved to Birmingham where with my father's work, and then 2 more brothers were born, so I have 3 brothers. Normal sort of Middle England, middle class kind of family, really. My daddy worked, my mum didn't initially, and then she was a psychologist. So she went back to work. She studied psychology for her A levels and also her degree. And so when we were a bit older, she went back to work full time. It was a normal lifetime. I was a tomboy. We all got treated the same. We went out into the park on our bikes, on our skateboards. We had swimming lessons. I had dance lessons, guitar, piano lessons, things like that. Yeah, so it was, my upbringing was sort of normal. We had a den in the garden. We used to hang around to, we used to dance to Queen, which I absolutely love. And my kids love Queen, actually, which is really cool. Yeah, so although it seemed normal, happy, and everything was fine, it wasn't really until I got a bit older that I realised, well, I did realise that I was a bit shy, that I blushed all the time. I felt uncomfortable. I felt like I didn't fit in. I didn't have many friends. I found it difficult to make friends. Boys didn't look at me. I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 15. And I think what they did was pave the way for me to become stronger internally. So by the time I got to secondary school, it was tough. It was an all-girls secondary school, 1,600 girls, not really my kind of people for the most part. Some of them, I met a couple of really lovely friends, didn't keep in touch with anybody after I left, went to college away from my school, and then left home. And then I started to be really kind of stepping into a bit of my power because I had this huge independence. and I started work. So I left home, I was studying, I was also working. I had a great time. I was working in a place called TGI Fridays.
Oh,
which, yeah. Well, when I was 18, it had just opened, the very first one in the UK. So that shows my age, right? And oh my goodness, for the first time in my life, I had so much fun. Mm. I couldn't believe it. I'd never really had fun before. Didn't know how to have fun. My mother was very serious, quite strict, not a mumsy mum, very intellectual lady, very clever lady, highly respected. And yeah, so leaving home for me was a really positive experience, actually. And so I worked there for a year, which is great fun. And then went back to college and worked part-time there. And spent 8.5 years in catering, managing big American themed restaurants.
Wow. Okay. And what kind of American themes were they?
Well, it was TGI Fridays, yeah. Somewhere called Brannigan's, which it was a similar theme. It was a rib rack and bar, separate restaurant, massive bar. I had a little, there was a little lounge upstairs called Natasha's Executive Lounge. So that was my lounge. So I ran that for a bit.
Lovely.
Learned loads of cocktails, had loads of experience, had lots of freedom. Because I'm very energetic, I'm very enthusiastic, I'm a very passionate person, and I love people. So really, it was a super fit, you know, for my younger years, a really super fit, great experience. Yeah.
Brilliant. And so how many years again were you in catering?
8.5 years in total.
Wow. And then what happened after that?
Well, I ended up being a manager, the restaurant manager of a big restaurant called Jefferson's, which was the first one in the country. Then they opened a couple more. And then down in London, they're not, I don't know if they're open still. The one that I was running in Solihull in Birmingham isn't going anymore. It's changed into a different brand. But it was really good fun. It was excellent. It was really hard work. You know, we were working when we opened the restaurant, we were working between 80 and 100 hours a week. We were training 80 staff. There was a lot of pressure. We didn't have a social life. We didn't get any time out. We were always there. And I think in some respects, I burnt out. I loved it. It was great fun, but it was exhausting.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I came out and ran a paint stripping business for a short while. So I used to drive a tranny van, a little transit van, hump doors around all day in my Doc Martin boots. I know, very different, huh? I did that for about a year and a half. But it was very different, but it wasn't really me, but it was good to try something different.
Yeah.
And one thing I've noticed about myself looking back was really that I'm quite adaptable. You know, I can turn my hand to anything, not necessarily brilliant at everything I turn my hand to, but to actually try different things is something that I embrace. So I am adaptable. And then I got involved in advertising for about 14 months. Really tough training and very good sales techniques, very good telephone techniques that I learned. And before I set up my own company, which was an optical wholesale company. So I was running an optical business with a business partner.
So stop. How did you get into the optical wholesale business? How did that happen?
Okay, so here's the thing. There was a government-funded, the Prince's Youth Business Trust was set up.
Yeah.
And I went along with my company Dip and Strip, which was a paint stripping business.
Yeah.
And I learned a few business skills and had to do presentations, which terrified me. And actually, I'll let you into a little secret. I thought, how am I going to do this presentation? You know, Dip and Strip, it's about, you know, paint stripping. How can I make that exciting? So I dressed up to the nines in a really beautiful fitted black suit with a little like cami top underneath. And I stood up and I said, so it was my turn. So I stood up, there were all guys there. And I stood up and I said, right, I'd like to talk to you about my business, Dip and Strip.
Yeah.
And I stood up and I started taking my jacket off. And all the guys, like the jaws dropped on the floor. And because I was quite good looking when I was younger. And the guy who was presenting it, which was an ex-bank manager, just kind of looked at me in horror. And I said, and I stopped when I put my jacket on the chair and I went, paint stripping, of course, guys, you know. And then I started talking like the lingo, you know, paint stripping and going in the transit van and picking up the doors and dropping them off at this dipping place in the centre of Birmingham and the caustic soda everywhere and blah, 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 and all the rest of it. But I just thought, how do I get this exciting? And that was kind of like my cheeky little side coming out in a way. So whilst I was whilst I was on that course, one of the guys in the audience, or one of the guys rather on the same course listening to me, who was also pitching, he was doing a glasses frames company he'd just started. And he and I joined forces, basically, and we ran the business together. So I used to then go over to Italy, to the factories, design the frames, bring them into this country and sell them all over the UK. And then one of my clients said, you know what, you really ought to do dispensing optics. You know, so I used to be an optician, a dispensing optician. And I'm like, really? He said, yeah, because you're good at this and you're good at that. I'm like, oh, okay. So all through my life, people have made suggestions to me. I call them my teachers. Yeah. My teachers have appeared at different points. And they just sowed that little seed in my mind. And I've always run with them. I've always thought, ha, that's a good idea. I like that. And I've always listened and paid attention, taken action. So he was one of these as well. And I thought, okay, let's do it. And he said, listen, you can come to my practice and you can work on a Saturday in my practice, because you've got to work in practice in some way, shape or form, and you can study. And it takes 3 years. And I went, oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, new string to my bow, why not? So that's how I got involved in becoming an optician, running my own company. So the partnership that I was involved with, the business selling frames, that, like most partnerships, you know, they break apart. There was personal and business reasons. It was a good thing. Mm. Then I set up my own company, Accessorize, so which is a B2B optical wholesale accessories company, 17 years ago.
Right. Okay. But so are you a trained optician?
Yes, I'm a dispensing optician. But I'm not practicing.
Not practicing, but
not at the moment, no.
But you've got the qualifications as an optician, basically.
Yes.
And so you still run Accessorize?
Yes, I'm not dealing with the major operations. I have a team who deal with the major operations of that, so that I could step aside and do what I love to do now.
Right, got you. But that's still your business on the side?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it. Oh, wow. That's what a journey. That's amazing. I mean, you must have learned so many business skills on that journey, right? So what were some of the best ones? What can you think of that would be like really amazing skills for being in business?
Well, I think throughout my whole, and there's a book on this, you know, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers.
Yes.
I know it. A wonderful book, amazing book. She was an incredible woman. And what occurred to me was, looking back, was that actually I had lived my life like that, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
I had just, you know, grabbed the bull by the horns, seen opportunities for myself and just gone with them, because the beginning part of my life was very shy. I didn't feel that anybody noticed me, anybody liked me, nobody heard me, nobody listened to me. And so I had to kind of fight to get noticed, to be heard, to be listened to. And I think that made me a little bit more brave, you know, even though I was still frightened, or even though when I stood up and did that presentation, I knew I was going to blush because I blushed all the time. And that really held me back and kept me shy. And I thought, you know what, blow it. I'm not going to be this person anymore. I don't want to, you know, feel small. I don't want to be kept back by the fact that I blush. I'm just going to go through it anyway. I'm just going to carry on. And so I think that courage has come from that point, you know, and,
but
so
where did
really
that courage,
important.
Did somebody inspire you to have that courage, or did you just decide? How did that come about?
Well, I had some fantastic role models when I was growing up. My grandfather, who was Russian, just was an amazing man. He was my hero. He was such a beautiful person and such an incredibly clever man and a hardworking man. He came to this country when he was a baby, well, when he was a very, very young child with his family. And had to escape. And, you know, he learned the Queen's English. He spoke 7 languages. He worked so hard, contributed to the economy here, dressed like an English gentleman, only bought British things, saved up all his money to buy his first house, never had a mortgage, you know, was in engineering and then translating all over the world. He was just an incredible, wonderful man. And I really, really admired and respected him. So he was one of my strong role models.
Right.
And probably the other really strong role model was his mother-in-law, my Nana. Now, she was really tough. She was like the Don Corleone of our family. She was a dressmaker in Manchester in Bramhall. She made beautiful dresses, beautiful outfits. She was strong, a bit of a social climber, you know, wanted to better her life. So those are the strong elements in my family that influenced me, and I just absolutely adored and looked up to, admired, and you know, was like, wow, in awe of. And then I had other people in my family, like her sister, my Auntie Dolly, who was just peaceful and calm and gentle and unassuming and, you know, not ambitious at all, who tragically fell in love with this beautiful young man who went to war and was killed. And she never got over it, and she never, ever had a relationship in her whole life after that. So, you know, and my grandma, who was my father's mother, who's just a gorgeous soul, loved everybody, accepted everybody, always saw the best in people, never complained, had quite hardship in her relationship, in her marriage, throughout her life, but was just the most gorgeous and beautiful and accepting woman. So I had some really amazing, you know, relatives around me, although I didn't see them hugely often because they lived all over the place, but people who influenced me and had an impact on my life. Yeah, so I suppose in the back of my mind, when my Nana died and when my grandfather died, was always this, you know, I had to keep it going. I needed to be strong for them. I wanted to make them proud of me. I think there was that going on in the background.
Oh, that's just amazing that you've got those role models to have inspired you. More importantly, allowed you to then step into your own power at a point that you most needed it. Oh, I love it. I love that story and how totally empowering that is. So if we talk about your last business, and we're going to come up to your current business as well, but your 17-year opticians business. share with us some of the challenges that you had in running that business. What were some of the challenges, or were there any? Maybe there weren't any.
Yeah, at first there weren't really any challenges at all. Well, I guess there were in a way. I was working full time for an optical company, and I'd set up my optical accessories company. So I had remote workers, you know, cold calling, and they were moms. They were young moms who were kind of at home, and they were really hardworking. They did a great job. So literally my life was, you know, I worked full time. They were working on the business. They would send me all of the orders that came through. I would come home from work. I would process them. I lived on my own. I'd process them at night, raise all the invoices, packaged all the stuff and sent it out. And then I did all of the bookkeeping and that kind of thing. So my life was 24/7. It was like, you know, again, it's always been workaholic, no social life.
Yeah.
You know, for me, for the longest time. And it felt like an uphill battle. Mm. My mother is beautiful and, you know, real intellectual and actually quite masculine in the way she behaves and the way she sees the world. So I think I followed that. So for me, it was push. Stepping into the feminine has been a challenge for me. So with my business, initially it was brilliant. And then when I moved from one area to another, the girls that I employed could no longer, you know, fulfill that role as such. So I had different staff and it didn't work quite so well. And then I moved again and consolidated the two and had plenty of space in the property that I bought for an office and a warehouse and everything else. That's why I chose the place. Then I had actual staff that came in, and I had five staff. They were fantastic, worked really hard. And I was actually very, very blessed because at the same time I was pregnant and then my first son was born. And then 2 years later, my daughter was born, and I had absolutely incredible staff. I hadn't realized how brilliant these staff were. I mean, I appreciated them, I valued them, and I was like, wow, because two of them left within 4 weeks of one another, a week after my daughter was born. So it was really like, wow. And by this time we'd moved offices, we had big offices. And that was a real shock to my system. And ever since then, I think the challenges have been employing people. One of the tough lessons I've learned about myself is that, you know, I might be a director, but I'm not a very good man manager, because I realized that one of the things that I don't need is constant reassurance. One of the things that I don't need is constant encouragement, because I'm quite self-motivated and I just get on with it and I'm quite low maintenance. And yet that doesn't mean to say that everybody else is the same. And so when other people came along, it was dealing with them. Yes, I'm a good communicator. Yes, I'm good at developing people. At the same time, when those people aren't ready to be developed, it feels like I'm pushing them and they don't want to be pushed.
Sure.
And then I was frustrated because I was thinking, I'm not very good at developing these people. So it was like a two-edged sword, really. I thought that what my skills were, that I wasn't good at those skills. And yeah, so that was probably one of the biggest challenges. And juggling everything, really. Learned lots of different things, went on loads of different courses. And, really enjoy talking to people.
Yeah. So what were some of the highlights of being in your, you know, running your own business? What were some of the...
I suppose I didn't really step into my fun part and happy side of myself until much later in life, really only in the last, you'll laugh at this, but really only in the last decade. And so I didn't sort of see anything as fun. It was just, again, I was pushing.
Yeah.
And there wasn't so much of, you know, looking around and saying this is great. Yes, it was lovely to be able to have my son, you know, with me until he went to nursery. But that was short-lived. But then I was working at the same time. So it wasn't like I took time off. I didn't have maternity leave. I just had my child, had maybe a week or two off and then straight back to work and... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think for me it was a little bit of a struggle this time round. Now I do things completely differently because I've learned, even though it's taken me a long time.
Sure, sure. Mm. Okay, so let's get on to Get Bliss then. Tell us about that. I'd love to hear how that came about and how that got started.
Wow, right. About 11 years ago, I hit a wall. So I was physically not very well. I went to the doctors. He said, you've got arthritis. Be great if you lived in a hot country. And I found out it was just stress. And I was like, oh my goodness. Well, firstly, I'm not taking any medication. That was, you know, absolutely decided. And secondly, I thought, this is crazy. So I'm suffering from stress and I've been having headaches 24/7 for about 6 months and I thought something was seriously wrong. And my body is behaving like somebody of a much older person. And I really wasn't ready for that to happen. So I just decided to take it upon myself to do alternative research. I looked at alternative therapies. I went to cranial sacral therapy, reflexology, kinesiology, swimming. I started swimming again. I started exercising again. I started reading lots of books about how to cure my body and read books on how to, you know, cure arthritis without any drugs, all through diet. And I understood that there was this allergy that I had, but everybody who suffers from like arthritis and rheumatism, they have an allergy to certain foods. So I examined all of these things and did stacks of research and read loads of things, downloaded things and bought books and everything, changed my diet entirely. And then I had my bloods done, I think about 5 years after that, 4 or 5 years after that, and got the complete all clear from the doctor.
Wow.
He said, he actually said, because he lived in a little village called Alfchurch, and he said, you are the healthiest woman in Alfchurch. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. I'm like, yes, thank you so much.
Fabulous.
It proved to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything that I was eating and drinking, the exercise I was taking, the way I was treating myself and the thoughts I was thinking had made an impact on my physical health.
Mm.
So I'd connected the dots between the mental and the physical, which people don't do, you know, and I say to people in my workshops, do you know what, guys, would you put orange juice in your car? And they say, duh, no. I say, so then, why do you fill your body full of cigarettes, drugs, pharmaceutical medicines, alcohol, processed food, sugars, all these things, all these nasty things, and expect it to work 100%? Because here's the truth. Your organs in your body work relentlessly for you 24/7. They never stop. And yet, if you are putting rubbish in your body, where is the nutrition and the nutrients coming from to help nourish the organs in your body?
And what do they say?
Well, do you know where it comes from? Because it comes from somewhere. Because your heart doesn't stop beating just for half an hour. Your lungs don't go on holiday. Your stomach doesn't say, hey, I need a rest. Leave me alone for 2 weeks. Because it's 24/7. So actually the nourishment and the nutrition that your organs need to function 100%, if they can't get it through the diet that you're feeding them, which 9 times out of 10 they can't, because you don't know what you don't know, and people aren't very well educated, through no fault of their own, it's just the way it is, so we need to educate them.
Correct.
Actually takes all the goodness from the marrow in your bones. So if the marrow in your bones is being depleted, when its only job is really to serve your bones and to keep them healthy and strong, what's going to happen to your bones? And so you can see very quickly how somebody can, you know, really start to almost decay with their physical body if you're not putting the right stuff in. So just as you would put water in your car, oil in your car, petrol or diesel in your car, you know, have oil changes and you know, take care of it and wash a windscreen wiper things, you know, and expect that to work and service your car, you have to do the same with your body. Yeah. And people don't sort of join the dots and don't realize that. And so I'd educated myself and still am educating myself, you know, trying to improve all the time. So that was really my journey. And that was the start of things, you know, and I realized that, so now I don't worry anymore. And I changed my life. I really changed everything in my life. And then about 2.5 years ago, I went to this amazing seminar. I'd never been to a seminar before. It was Louise Hay, You Can Do It. There were about 700-800 people there. And I've always felt like a bit of a maverick. I've always felt on the fringes and on the edge, and I never felt like I fitted in properly. But for the first time in my entire life, I felt as if I'd come home. And it was a huge emotional experience for me, because I knew that I could go up to anybody there and speak to them, and they would listen. They wouldn't judge me. They wouldn't think that I was trying to chat them up or anything, you know, how the world works. And I felt so safe and I felt so accepted in that space. It was really amazing. And that was a start for me of, you know, real huge transformation on my personal journey, because I had teachers come along the way. My financial advisor gave me 16 years. He'd been my financial advisor. And 11 years ago, he actually handed me the title of a book, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Yeah. I had no idea what it was all about. And I read this book secretly in my little sort of torch in bed at night. And it changed my life. I'm like, wow. And so I was given books by different people, or titles to books by different people. Literally, they'd come into my life and they'd go out of my life. And I know that that's the reason was that they come into my life for a reason, to give me this book, because I had to read this book at that moment in time. Sure. So I paid attention. It was totally incredible and amazing. I had no idea there was a world of personal development out there. Spirituality, knew nothing of it. Had a very religious upbringing, very strict parents, particularly my mother. My father was a real gentle soul, really quiet person. But, you know, I had no idea about this whole world. And as I started to explore more and more, it was really exciting. So when I left this 2-day conference in London, Louise Hay Conference, You Can Do It, or I Can Do It, I can't remember what it was called. I think it was I Can Do It. Then I just had this quiet moment, and it was really my intuition. I didn't realize what it was at the time. And looking back, my intuition had said things to me at different points, but I hadn't really paid attention to it. Now I know what it is. I pay attention, I listen. And it said to me, write a book, speak on stage and run workshops. And I was like, what? You know, seriously? But I still listened. And I went to the workshop. I went to the one of the presentation tables after the second afternoon at this event, and filled out this form to do this Louise Hay course. And I was looking for somewhere to put the form, that application form. And this woman came up to me. She literally floated across to me, beautiful, warm face. And she said, hi, can I help you? And I said, hi, yes, I wonder if you could. I'm just wondering where to put this application form. And she just reached her hand up to me. She said, hi, I'm Peggy, with the warmest, warmest voice. And I was like, it felt like somebody was literally blowing warm air over me or melted chocolate all over me. It was just, and I was like, wow, I looked at this woman I said, hi, I'm Natasha, and put my hand out. And she went, oh my goodness, your light is so bright. Well, and nobody had ever spoken to me like that before.
No.
And it really touched my heart. And I was overcome with emotion because I thought, oh my goodness, she can see me.
Mm.
She can really see me. And, you know, that was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And actually, we're still in touch. We've had tea. We've been to places together and she's lovely. And that was really, I think, the start of me having an awareness that there was more to life than I thought previously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
And then the next month I went to another business conference, signed up for a book course because it was there. I'm like, well, I've got to do this, right? It's one of my three things. and the rest is history.
Oh, brilliant. So now, so Get Blissed has been around for how many years now?
Get Blissed was published April 2015, and the foreword was written by my dear friend and mentor, Raymond Aron, who held a book launch for me in Toronto in Canada, which I went to on the 11th of April 2015. I stood on stage in front of 500 people. I thought, oh my gosh, they laughed. They laughed at things I was saying to them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I always thought I didn't have a sense of humor. and these people were laughing, and they weren't laughing because they felt sorry for me. They were laughing because I was saying funny things, because actually the story that led up to me getting there was quite a hilarious story. And it was like a bunch of miracles.
Yeah.
So, and I met Jack Canfield, and he was my hero for years. And I really wanted to sign up for his training course, but didn't have the money. And so I'd read The Success Principles, tried to get my head around Chicken Soup for the Soul, but cried every time I read a paragraph. It's too emotional. So I'm like, okay, forget that. And so it was always in the back of my mind that I would love to meet this man. Little did I know that he was the secret that Raymond Aron had. He was also one of Raymond Aron's good friends, and he was also going to be speaking on stage. And so we shared the stage, we had dinner with him, and that was just an incredible blessing.
Fantastic. So with your business today, you've got a book, you go out speaking at events, and you help people and you coach people how to get blissed. Is that right?
Yes.
Brilliant. And what are some of the transformations that you're seeing in people, Natasha?
Well, it's the most beautiful, incredible, honored journey, really, to be able to be part of people's transformations. It's incredible watching them. You know, I am the liberate yourself coach, quite simply, because that's what I do. I help people liberate themselves from their limiting beliefs, the programming, the conditioning, the upbringing that perhaps hasn't served us, you know, and our parents. I'm not dissing anybody, because our parents do the very best that they can with what they know at the time, but there's so much that they don't know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we are not taught, for instance, relationships. Relationships are a real big thing for me, and, you know, what they've been one of my biggest lessons through my life. And so I help people with their relationships, first of all with themselves, to really learn to accept who they are, to love themselves, and to not want to change everything about who they are. You know, you look this way for a reason. You sound this way for a reason. It's, you can't say, oh, do you know what? God, you got it all wrong. Or universe or creator, you got it all wrong. I shouldn't look like this. I should look like this. I need to change that. I need to change this. No, because that's like having a civil war. If you're not happy with who you are and you're changing it, how can you ever be happy, deeply happy? How can you ever just sit quietly on your own and chuckle to yourself because you're really, you know, happy, deep down happy? And so that's been one of my biggest lessons. And therefore, connecting people with themselves and developing healthy relationships with who they are is starting point for everything that I teach. And then moving on from that, because they're in a really good place and much more confidence, high self-esteem, just being who they are, not relying on the job they have, the suit they wear, the title they have, or anything else, but just being who they are, then every relationship in their life, whether it be a work relationship, whether it be friendship or an intimate relationship, is much, much stronger and much, you know, it's much better and much happier.
I love it. I love it. And in fact, we're talking about business, and you know, I always say the only job we have is to work on ourselves. Mm-hmm. There is no other job. But how does the two, so what you're talking about in terms of people's thoughts about themselves, how does that serve them when they are in business, right? Or running their own business or thinking about starting their own business? How could this serve them better?
Well, a lot of people live in fear. Yeah, they're fearful of failure. They're fearful of success. They're fearful of what other people will think of them, how they'll judge them. They're fearful of what their peers will think, their parents will think, society thinks. And so they fit themselves, they contort themselves, we all do it, into this square peg, you know, but they're not that. You know, you try to be a square peg in a round hole and you don't fit, and you're contorting yourselves and you become something you're not. You metamorphosize into something that you are not. And yet when you start to have an awareness and notice things around you that aren't serving you, you notice things that are going wrong, you notice things that aren't right, and then you start questioning them and challenging them, and then you can change them. So for instance, once you learn who you are and what you're doing here on this earth, spiritual being, having a human existence on this earth to learn your lessons, to have adventures, to have challenges, to, you know, experience life, to learn, evolve and grow and contribute and connect, etc., 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 then you feel like you have more right to be here. And then once you discover what's unique and special about you that's different to everybody else, you know, what your natural gifts and talents are, you can start honing in on those. And actually, just the experience of going to school is totally overwhelming, because you're either an academic or you're not an academic. I was not an academic. My mother was a straight A student. My daughter is a straight A student. My son is not. You know, we're all different. We all come in different shapes and sizes because we're meant to. How boring would it be if we all looked the same? And yet what we're doing is just comparing ourselves to other people when there's nothing to compare, because that's like comparing oranges and bananas, and they're totally different. And also we're not embracing our unique gifts and talents, and we're not saying, do you know what, I am this height, I am this shape and this size, I have this voice, I have these skills and talents for a really good reason, and yet at the same time I really respect and admire your gifts and talents because they're completely different from mine, which means you can't make a cake with one ingredient. So, you know, I'm the egg, you're the flour, you're the sugar, you're the salt, you're something else, you're something else. So by having all the most beautiful, amazing, best quality ingredients and putting them together, we can create the most incredible things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I really love that. And I could talk about this subject for hours. I think the human mind and body and the connection and our thoughts and what we believe is such a huge and fascinating subject. And every day I'm learning more and more and more. So unfortunately, we're going to close it down a bit. And my last question for you, Natasha, is if there was one bit of advice you would give aspiring business owners, what advice would that be? And it can be as strange as you would like. So, and I know you might have some wacky ideas or suggestions, and it doesn't matter. What advice would you give people that are listening to that podcast and thinking about, you know, this job that they're in, but ideally they really want to start doing, you know, going on their own, starting their own business? How can they overcome this fear?
There isn't really one thing, Michael, because do you know what? When you want to start out, and here's the thing, when you want to start out, firstly, know yourself, get to know yourself. Personal development is so, so important, because you're building the inner resistance. You're building the house that has deep foundations, that's going to withstand the storms of time, of business, of relationships, of whatever, so that you can stand strong. So that's definitely the first thing. Second thing is get really, really clear about what your gifts and talents are and how you can use them in the world. And the third one, and I'm sorry, I know you said one, but there are three. And the third one is connect with other people who also have the same vision as you or a similar vision, who will complement you and who, you know, inspire you as well, and collaborate with other people, because you can't, you know, no man is an island. We are not designed to do things on our own. And having worked on my own for 17 years, it's very lonely. You know, it's very lonely, and you need to be able to have people to hold you accountable, challenge you, applaud you, champion you, question you, and compliment you in terms of your skills, so that together you're building a really strong team.
Love it. Love it. I didn't mind you sharing three ideas at all. No, that is absolutely perfect, and a lovely end to our podcast. But before we go, can you share where they can get in touch with you, how they can connect with you? What's your website, your Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn? How can people find you?
Oh, thank you, Michael. Yes, if you want to connect with me, then I would love to hear from you. I would love to work with you. I would love to be able to inspire, empower, and educate you, because then you can be the best version of yourself. And you can find me on Facebook, Natasha Aylott. That's my personal page. Get Blissed is my business page. Feel free to connect on both. And my website is www.getblissed.co.uk. It is in the process of being redone, but the existing page and website is running. I'm also on LinkedIn, Natasha Aylott, and I have a YouTube channel, Natasha Aylott, which I do post videos from time to time to help inspire you. They're free, so feel free to listen to them. I do Facebook Live, so, you know, tap into those and, you know, take golden nuggets out. Leave the stuff that doesn't apply to you. Take those golden nuggets, make notes for yourself, and whatever applies to you and resonates with you, make those shifts, take those changes, create new daily habits for yourself to keep yourself on point, to keep yourself accountable, and always, always, always have a positive outlook, because your thoughts create your reality and create your future. So be very mindful of your thoughts and also your words and also what you read, who you hang around with, and what you listen to. Thank you, Michael.
Natasha, that's brilliant. I will also include all the details, should be in the show notes. So go and check those out and find Natasha, connect with her and start learning and growing and get yourself ready for starting your own business. And if you are already in business, still start connecting with Natasha and grow your business even further with those tools and techniques and the coaching. So Natasha, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed listening to you. Thank you for sharing all those golden nuggets that you've shared with us today. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Staying Alive UK. Share your story.